Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, everybody.
What up, baby? It's cracking, Key.
Nothing.
Same pan, same grease.
Huh?
Same pan, same grease.
Man, yeah, I just was trying to process. I heard Adam say something that made my ears jump up, so I was trying to process it in my brain. You know, I'm delayed a little bit. So,
what were you trying to process?
Well, he said that Lamar would accept a non-fully guaranteed deal. I was like, huh?
Who said this?
Adam. So I was trying to, you know, catch
Shefty. Oh, Shefty. I was like, who the hell is Adam? I was like, we got Adam on our staff.
You call him Shefty every day. All of a sudden, Adam.
Adam, what? I was like, wait, we have Adam on our crew?
The crazy thing is.
Alan Yates. His name is Alan, not Adam. Nuno.
No, the crazy thing is I do both with him. So weird.
You do both?
I do both with Max, too. I'll say Max and I'll say Kellerman. I mean, it just depends on, I guess, what I'm talking about. I don't know.
You don't do both of me.
So.
No, I just say J. Will or J.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can't say Williams. That doesn't even.
Listen,
he goes, hey, Williams.
Listen, Williams.
I mean, like, you know, what are you getting ready to walk down the line or something?
You know, listening to the sound coming in, though,
I'm out, bro.
Plausible deniability. I get it. Well, in this case, they traded up in the draft. Well, in that case, they got a quarterback they like. Well, over here, they don't have the cap space, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you got to take a step back and see the forest. Don't miss the forest for the trees, right? You have to take a step back and get the big picture. There is no way in hell.
Are you talking to me, Max?
Daddy, I'm talking to everybody out there. I'm talking to
coded language, huh?
Joe Sixpack out there driving his truck on his morning shift. Listen, I'm serious. It's a quarterback-starved league. Everyone's looking for – there's a 26-year-old superstar in his prime quarterback who is supposedly – available. No one wants him. What? Come on, man. Just stop. Stop. There's
Think about what you just said, though, Max. I go back to my same argument. It's a quarterback-starving league.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to give you what I have so I can be in the position that you're in? No way in
hell.
So
no one believes he's really available is what you're saying.
No, he's not available.
The thing that's wild, though, Key, right, is – I almost gave an analogy that I shouldn't give on national TV.
Jay, check it out.
Yeah. I am just best winning percentage is starting QB Patrick Mahomes, 79. Wow. Close to 80%. Lamar Jackson is second with 74%.
In a big sample, 45-16 for his career. Other than Mahomes, he has the best winning percentage as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
So, okay, I'll give you an analogy. Like we all know people like this. Like in high school, right, there was a girl dating a guy.
Hey.
You always had one friend that was like, yeah, mom. I'm going to shoot my shot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot my shot. You're telling me.
Man, that man got a girl. That girl got a man. What's wrong with you, Jay?
What's that man
got
to do
with me? No, they claim they're breaking up, Keith.
What's that got to do with me?
They claim they're breaking up.
She got to say no. She is. So at the end of the day, like, how come nobody's shooting their shot? There's not one team that's willing to shoot their shot.
Well,
come
Key is saying because no one believes they're breaking up.
Exactly. I was about to say, she might be looking at you. Because you got a ring on and your watch is shiny and your car look a certain way. But in the end, no. It's just not going to happen.
Look, Lamar was tweeting last night, guys. There's been a lot of speculation, including on this show, right? Because we say, we'll bring up, hey, he missed good parts of the last two seasons. So maybe now, after being very durable, there's some injury concerns. And then beyond that, legs age quicker than an arm does, and people don't know how long he can play the style. And we were speculating on this show.
Oh,
look,
goodness.
Either he was hurt, or he was hurt and didn't want to risk some kind of permanent injury when he doesn't have guaranteed money, right?
See, like, I never looked at it that way. I looked at it as he got hurt, and he looked back and said, man, I played 1 through 12, and y'all, matter of fact, in the offseason, y'all didn't do right by me. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't do right by me during the summer. 1 through 12 games, y'all still didn't do right by me. So when I got injured, this is the way I'm looking at it. I said, when he got injured, he just basically was like, oh, okay, I'm y'all tripping. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, he's not that type of player. Most guys want to play if they can play. That's just the reality of it. But then so much is at stake for him, my mind is going to wonder, well, I wonder if he just, like, bumped this. I ain't got time for this.
That's why I told you on the show. I was like, I would be in a heartbeat.
There was a lot of speculation, and I'm just saying the speculation you just took us through beat by beat, Key, is like, here's the reasoning. But that was – we were talking about it openly, and others have as well. So Lamar tweets – And Key, before the show started, you were wondering, is this in response to anything in particular? Or maybe is it just in response to this stuff in general? I don't remember me, this is Lamar's tweet, sitting out on my guys week 1 versus the Jets to week 12 versus the Broncos. How come all of a sudden I sit out because of money, in which I could have gotten hurt at any time within that time frame? We know the Super Bowl has been on my mind since April 2018. Let's get real. I'd rather have 100% PCL than go out there and play horrible, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation. Now, that's selfish to me.
Well, everything he's saying is 100% correct. Yeah. I just thought that they made him so mad because even during the time frame of him sitting out, they was dropping little hints and nuggets. Well, you know, he can play. I don't know what's really actually wrong with him. Then Lamar had, if you remember, Lamar then had to address his PCL injury publicly. I don't remember if it was on a tweet or at his locker, but he certainly addressed it about, you know, the Ravens basically saying, oh, he's ready to go. And he's like, no, man, I'm not ready to go. So it made me wonder, Jay, what was really going on the back end of that.
Yeah, Keith, I think the tweet comes off his response to Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, who told the Athletic that they weren't going to pursue him because of the injury history. All right. So,
why would that be? Because Arthur Blank is not insinuating that he was dogging it or missing games to preserve himself. He was saying there's a concern that style of play leads to injury and he's been hurt the last years.
Yeah,
Lamar's
responding
to the idea that he sat games to protect his future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think it has to be a combination of both, though, because both narratives are floating out there,
mm-hmm.
aren't they?
Like, yes,
you know,
they are.
You have, it's like now, since we all know the real narrative is nobody actually thinks they're going to be able to pry him away from Baltimore.
Well, that's my
narrative.
You have
a lot of people.
That's Keys, yeah.
You have a lot of people that are then saying, well, it's because of injury history, or it's because of maybe he sat out games. Like, people are finding alternative ways to make excuses instead of telling you what it really is.
Right. And by the way, what is it really? Because Key says no one thinks they can get him. Arthur Blank is rolling everything up into one. He's saying he's missed a lot of time. And essentially, if you read between the lines, legs age faster than an arm does, right? Like, you know,
let me back you up for a minute, though, Max. Why would his legs age faster than his arm? You want to know why?
Guys lose speed before their mechanical
ability. No, that's not why.
Why?
Because he was in that sorry-ass offense.
Exactly.
And they're running dive plays with him, quarterback draws and sweeps.
And that's why he wanted to change in the offense.
And
Key,
add on to it. He could have played. We talked about it. You're like, Jay, he could play. I'm like, yeah, I know he could play. But the question is, should he play this season?
Right.
And that's where he got to the point. Like, yo, I'm not playing anymore. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to keep sacrificing my body if you guys aren't going to reward me with a contract.
And the crazy thing is everybody concentrates on his legs. The dude throwing 3,000-plus yards in the air, man.
Yeah, I know. He has
He's still putting the ball in the air, but everybody keep focusing in on his legs. And when he's putting the ball in the air, he's not putting the ball in the air from the perimeter. He's putting the ball in the air from the pocket.
Yeah, right. He just needs – but it would
they
be nice to
stop.
See him with one alpha receiver, right? And then to – because that's what they did for Jalen Hurts. They got him A.J. Brown. It changed everything. But let me just say something here. There's a principle called Occam's razor, okay? Occam's razor is the one explanation – that describes the most phenomena. That's probably the explanation, the simplest one, right? So we can go to, well, arms, legs, age, fast arms. Well, he's out of the pocket. Maybe he could get hurt. No, you can get hurt just as much in the pocket. Well, maybe he didn't play to preserve the contract. Well, you can go through all these things. This team has a quarterback they like. This team just traded up in the draft. That team doesn't want to pay the guarantee. This team doesn't have the cap space. You could say all that, or you could say the following, and you tell me what's Occam's razor. Collusion. Collusion. The league is colluding.
There you go.
This is the simplest explanation to keep the 230 fully guaranteed from Deshaun Watson from becoming the standard. Like, I think you have to really stretch to not simply come to that conclusion.
I mean, yeah, it's something to struggle with because I'm not 100% sure, Max, that it's collusion. I think it's a lot deeper than just collusion. I think it's really some teams have quarterbacks. Some teams realize that they're not going to let him go. So for me to give him an offer sheet to take back to the Ravens, I'm, again, wasting my time with something that's not going to come to fruition. We already noticed. We talk in Phoenix. What do you think? You think they just went to their meetings and went home? No. They sat in them lobbies. They drank whatever little scotch they was drinking, smoking whatever little cigars they was smoking, or whatever the case may have been, and they was talking to one another. Hey, what do you think this is going to happen? How do you think? That's what they do at these meetings.
Keith, I really wish this would happen. I really wish that next up, Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts would be like, you know what? We're going to sit down until we – I wish they were all – this is where I want players to be all aligned, all get on the same page. And if you want to reset the market – you have the power at the end of the day.
That's why what you said about Lamar not playing makes the most sense. If he sits out until they do Hurts' deal, because then goes Burrow and Herbert, they're going to set the market, and then let's hear what the excuse is.
Man, right? the details are extremely important in deals, Jay. It's all about your representatives of explaining the deal to you so you fully understand the deal. I don't see Jalen Hurts sitting out, but I see Jalen Hurts getting a crazy amount of money to the point of the first couple years. Like Devin McCourty said yesterday on our show, his every deal he's ever done, all you do is you look at those first several years. That's the guaranteed money.
Yep.
Forget like 2 and 3 and 5, and I don't want to talk about those years.
Yeah, listen.
What the hell are you giving me in the first 4 years of my 7-year deal?
We got a lot more to talk about on this topic, including, by the way, when Key talks about, hey, it freezes your cap space and all this stuff when you have to offer the first two as a non-exclusive, including the idea that maybe you want to find out if he's available, go straight to the Ravens and start talking trade. Bypass the two firsts and the frozen cap and all that. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Meantime, as the Mavs get ready to face the Sixers tonight, here's the question. Which duo has the most pressure on them heading into these playoffs? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, on ESPN Radio and ESPN Tonight, good matchup in the NBA, Sixers-Mavs. And, of course, Sixers, Embiid, and Harden. And, by the way, quiet is kept, Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey's really good. And the Mavs, but he's young, he's got a lot of time, right? The Mavs, Luka, who's young but a superstar, and Kyrie. So the question is, which duo has the most pressure?
The most pressure.
Yes, that's right. I think we've just invented something new in sports talk. Let's start talking about who has the most pressure on them. No one's done that before, but we've invented it right here. Embiid and Harden or Luka and Kyrie? These rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies Advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL.
He might be the most skilled big with that size that the game has ever seen. You add his play with this team, it's over.
Jay's Round Ball Rankings.
The game is over.
Here we go. Before we get into number five on
four
the
down
duos,
flex, Jay.
What'd you say?
Four down flex.
Four down flex. How do you know that set? Are you the screener in that set or are you the shooter? You're the shooter.
I'm the shooter.
You're a shooter, baby. That's what you do. You shoot for a living. Let's go. Honorable mention off the top. My two honorable mention duos before we get to number five, Luka and Kyrie. I can explain afterwards. And Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions, honorable but not mention. In my top five. Yates, give me number five.
Number five.
Yeah, KD and CP3. Now, you're going to wonder, why isn't it KD and Devin Booker? Because Devin Book and KD are going to play together for the next couple of years. I don't know how much longer CP3 is going to continue to play the game of basketball. It feels like CP3 is doing load management each and every year. There's this sizzle out that you have health-wise from him when it gets into the playoffs. Kevin Durant comes back for his first game tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, his home debut in Phoenix. And it feels like CP3 is on the last leg here. CP3 has not gotten a championship. I think that adds a dimension of pressure. KD already has two chips, two final MVPs, but the pairing of it together brings him in at number five on my list. Next up.
Number four.
I got to go with PG and Kawhi Leonard, man. Kawhi Leonard's been in the Clippers organization for 3 years. There's been early exits. He's been injured. He's played 57 games, 47 games so far this year. Paul George with the late season injury. Just when you feel like you think the Clippers have all the pieces in the wild, wild west. We talk about teams 4 through 12 are separated by 4 games. It's that close. It feels like the door is wide open. Damn, why does Paul George get hurt? Now, he's going to try to come back before the playoffs, but still, there is pressure on the other team in L.A. I don't even give a damn if their name is the Clippers. Even if they're the redheaded stepchild, it is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard at four. Next up.
Number three.
James Harden, Joel Embiid. Look, James Harden is playing the best style of basketball in his entire career. Now, you can argue with me going back to the Houston days, that might have been more prolific, okay, because him scoring 35-point triple-doubles in the style of play. But when he hit Brooklyn, that style of game with Kyrie and KD was a championship-style version of James Harden. He is playing that style of basketball in today's game with Joel Embiid, who is probably the front-runner to win the MVP, averaging 11 assists per game, leading the NBA. The style that he plays is the best, but the Achilles injury, the foot injury, all these questions now that loom going into the playoffs, and we keep talking about Joel Embiid as being the MVP. I said it yesterday on Sirius Satellite. I can give a damn who wins MVP. It comes down to can Joel Embiid and James Harden win a chip together? They come in at number three. Next up.
Number two.
I mean, Jokic, man. Jokic and Jamal Murray. It was always an excuse for Jokic, and it was It was fine. I take the excuse for him. Because last year, guys were hurt. Jamal Murray was hurt. Michael Porter Jr. was hurt. Well, now this team is loaded. Jamal Murray's healthy. They have the best record in the West. Jokic is in the MVP conversation. Again, has a chance to win it for the third consecutive year. Aaron Gordon is healthy, playing defense. Michael Porter Jr. is shooting the ball well from outside. They are completely healthy. No excuses for the team that has dominated the Western Conference for the whole year. Jamal Murray and Jokic coming at number two. Number one.
Number one.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They won. They got to the NBA Conference, the NBA Finals. They lost to the Golden State Warriors. Jason Tatum did not play his best basketball when it counted the most. Legs looked tired, struggled to get the ball. Jaylen Brown, there's a lot of talk around whether Jaylen Brown will continue to be a Boston Celtic. After next season, he will be a free agent. There have been a lot of talks about where does he go? Does he want to stay in Boston? Does he want to be an Atlanta Hawk? Does he want to be a Sacramento King? Does he want to be a New York Knick? Does he want to have his own team? You've been hearing the way he's been talking about Boston outside of the gym, right? You've been hearing ties about him and Kyrie Irving together. Will this duo stay together, understanding what they could be? All I'm going to say is all the pressure is on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and I'm not sure they go as far in the Eastern Conference playoffs without Robert Williams being healthy, because I truly believe that the landlord is the key cog to this team winning a championship. So there you go. My top five duos with the most pressure.
What do you think, Key?
Yeah, I think they're – I mean, as I look at the list, though, Jaylen Brown, because he might bounce like Jay says. I mean, I still would have put LeBron and AD on the list somewhere. I probably would have squeezed them. I don't know. I probably would have squeezed them, to be honest with you. Jamal Murray and Joker probably could have dropped off that list for me.
But see, Key, the reason why I got AD and LeBron off the list is that I know that the pressure is on them every single year in LA, but they got a chip, man. With the exception of KD, CP3 has never gotten a chip.
No, I'd say CP3 could be on there, but that chip that the Lakers got is for Lakers that's so far.
Yeah.
In the rearview mirror, everything is.
And there was a bubble. People make excuses about it. You know,
everybody played in the bubble.
Yeah, everything. No doubt. Bubble. No, but everybody make excuses about it. Bubble, blah, blah, blah. And it was so much over the last two seasons. The Lakers have had so much, like, turmoil, turnaround. You know, whether it was Westbrook and not getting DeMar DeRozan. And what was the other, the guard? The guard that was in Sacramento that we wanted.
Buddy Hield,
not, you know, all, it was just so much LeBron controlling it, and Genie got a grab back for the team. So I just think that's really the only miss, and it ain't really a miss.
Yeah, I disagree, Jay. I got a couple problems with the list.
Sure. You always Number have one, problems with my list.
Jokic has the, if you had to single out the person with the most pressure on them, I agree, it's Jokic, right? Because he's won back-to-back MVPs. He might win his third in a row.
But he ain't, but see. And,
but hold on, Key, hold on. So he has a lot of pressure. But Jamal Murray has been hurt, and when he wasn't hurt, he's balled out in the playoffs, and beyond that, he's not considered quite what, say, a Kyrie Irving is, right? So, as a duo, even though if you just measure the total pressure because there's so much on Jokic, maybe, but I think this list, when you make a list like this, there should be a lot of pressure on both guys. I don't see it for Jamal Murray as much, but when you talk about
Can I combat that?
Good.
What did you say about Jamal Murray in the bubble? Who carried the team?
Jamal Murray, 100%.
So whose team do you think it really is? When it really matters the most?
So far it's been Murray, and maybe that's been the problem.
Okay, so when it really matters the most, you're saying in the bubble, when he's carried the load and Jokic didn't perform in the playoffs, that's where I put the two together.
But what I'm because saying he, is I still he already at, got credit for that. Yeah, it's but, not like, oh, this guy can't play in the playoffs.
But now, Max, it's about time. It's win or get off the pot.
To me, that falls on Jokic, not Murray. But
why? It's a guard. I mean, Jokic, it does.
Because Murray's also not considered all NBA. So when he does that, it's like, oh, my God, he's this kind of player who's really good normally and then incredibly great when you need him most. Even if he has an off playoff series.
All we've been talking about all year long is, does Denver even deserve to be the best team?
I want to get to NBA.
Sure, but you're just going to win that argument and just move the ball to the next play.
I'm trying to get to the main point, which is, well, I've been trying.
You probably could have gotten to the main point at the beginning.
Embiid and Harden. Embiid maybe got stiff for an MVP already. Might be the MVP this year. James Harden's been an MVP. He's getting a little long in the tooth, playing great basketball, has choked under pressure in the playoffs multiple times. That is a huge amount of pressure on both those guys. They should be number one on the list.
Why?
I thought I just explained it. You want to argue this on the other end?
Yes, please.
Not to mention, as a fan, when are you allowed to start asking for an historical coach like Belichick or Popovich to be replaced, KJM?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. The Philadelphia 76ers are fighting for the top overall seed in the postseason, while the Dallas Mavericks are in a battle for a postseason berth, and they go head-to-head in a critical showdown in Philadelphia tonight. Coverage begins at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. You can also listen on the ESPN app and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max are presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio. So, Jay, you presented your list of duos in the NBA with the most pressure on them. At number one, you had Brown and Tatum.
Yep.
I get it. They wouldn't be my number one. Certainly, they,
but they're my number one. Okay.
Jamal Murray and Jokic are your two. They wouldn't be my two.
But they're mine.
Because, I wouldn't have them on the – maybe they'd be fifth, maybe.
Why?
Maybe, maybe they wouldn't be on the list. Because
Jokic
got all
the team in the West the whole year.
Jamal Murray ain't got the pressure.
Every time we say the name Joker, all you hear is the air horn.
Yes, but it's duos we're talking about.
Jamal Murray's there it is.
Jamal Murray is not facing the pressure. Jokic is. Murray's already balled out in the playoffs.
All you told me is, well, Joker hasn't taken his team deep in the playoffs.
That's right.
If you remember in the bubble, it was Jamal Murray who was the real guy. So,
right. But are you adding total pressure between the two guys or suggesting that both have a lot of pressure?
I'm actually suggesting that the pressure on Joker is higher than anybody else in
I
the
agree
playoffs,
with that.
Which it adds to Jamal Murray because people expect now you're healthy, now you're the guy, you've had a whole season under your belt.
To me, it's clear that Harden and Embiid have more. And the reason is this.
Where would you rank them in your rankings?
One. Easily
one.
Because,
why?
Because Harden's never won a championship. You know, if Harden had already won a championship, when you think of the greatest players who ever lived, he would be high
up
on the
list. So let me ask you a question, Max.
But he hasn't because he hasn't played well in the moment of truth in the playoffs. And Embiid, as incredible as he's been in the regular season, he hasn't even been to a conference final, which Jokic has.
So, Key, I'll ask you. If Joel Embiid and James Harden get to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose and get in Game 7 to the Milwaukee Bucks, is that season a failure for the 76ers?
It is for me.
It is? You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that would be an okay season.
I don't think that they put
they've never
this
been
thing
to a
together.
Conference finals.
I understand.
You guys know that,
I don't
right?
think that they put this together. Well, they lost, obviously, to Toronto, but I don't think that they – and
wasn't
James
in the
Harden
conference
wasn't
finals.
There. I know James Harden wasn't there, but I don't think that they went out and got James Harden to go to the Eastern Conference final.
I hear you, but Milwaukee – has been one of the most dominant teams, guys. Like, if Joel Embiid, if they came up short in Game 6 or Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals,
it would be a disappointment.
It would be a disappointment, but I don't think you would look at that as a failure. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, a team that got to the NBA Finals last year, if they lose to Milwaukee, what's that season?
I'm taking a macro view of the guys' careers, Jay. If, like, Embiid is not getting any younger, right? And he's
a big guy. I know, you're talking narratives. I'm talking
and,
basketball.
And Harden is – I'm talking what?
You're talking narratives. I'm talking basketball.
Right, but it's basketball narrative. When you say pressure, you're talking narrative.
Yeah,
but
I'm actually talking
pressure,
about
we're
basketball,
talking about,
too.
As you construct the story, where's the pressure on the characters?
Yeah, but I'm
characters.
Actually talking about basketball, too.
Yeah, well, okay, let's talk about basketball. The Sixers are one of the best teams in basketball. They not only have Embiid and Harden, they also have Tyrese Maxey. It's not like they don't have any support. They have, like, if you want to talk about a team with the most pressure, you
who's
might
the
argue
best team
the Sixers.
In Eastern Conference? Who's played the best basketball in the Eastern Conference this year, Max?
Bucks.
Okay. Who's played the second best basketball? Who's actually, with the exception of their late end of the season skid a little bit.
I have to count that in.
Okay, so who's the second best team?
Sixers.
You think the Sixers have been the second best team?
Well,
you don't even believe that. You said that, but you don't even believe it.
But I'll say this.
Boston has been right there. And then Boston, all of a sudden, after the head coach got his extension, they started to kind of – and that's not because the reason they started to play sour. They just, for whatever reason, hadn't played great basketball right after that moment. I would say the Celtics is
Embiid,
the second best
Embiid
team.
Embiid
just like their record say.
Yates, you're a Philly fan, Yates. Where would you rank
the
Philadelphia playing this season?
I mean, they're like a top five team. I wouldn't call them – like, I still think that the Bucks are better than them. I could see an argument for them being over the the Celtics right now. But
right now? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But let's get back to the pressure. If you talk about – Jokic has the most pressure, I agree. But if you talk about a combination of players, both who are facing enormous pressure, both on a team with a legit chance to win, with a supporting cast that ought to be good enough if they do their jobs, right? Like, I mean – They're my number one, but okay, they're not your number one. You don't want to talk about narratives.
I just no, that's fine. That was the line JJ used on me yesterday. I thought it was a good line. It is interesting though, Max. Like, why do we relieve the pressure that comes along? Jason Tatum, who was in the MVP conversation, who we spoke about last year, you know, waiting to get inside the you know, the VIP room, and now he has his own table, and he's arrived as one of the best players in the league. And also Jaylen Brown, who I said on this show, I think he's the best two-way player in the league. Like, I do. I think he's the best two-guard in the league.
I think there's a lot on them.
So there's a lot of pressure on that team.
I don't disagree.
How do
I think
just relieve that?
No, I think they're probably a top three most pressurized combo, because unlike Jokic and Jamal Murray, the difference between Tatum and Brown is not that much. It's not like, oh, it's Tatum and then forget about Brown. They both are considered really, really, really good. And they've gotten to a finals, and, you know, and Tatum did not play very well in the final. Ton of pressure on those.
And
two.
Also,
totally
key last thing I'll say, why do we keep relieving the pressure from Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? Is it just because they play for the Clippers?
Why did you just take the words right out of my mouth? I was going to say they play for the Clippers, man.
But that's just an excuse every time. Well, they need to play for the Clippers. So if you want to hide, go play for the Clippers.
I think they've been banged up.
They're
so
always
much.
Banged up.
No, no, but I think they've been banged up so much that you really have kind of forgot about, if they were healthy, what would they be? You know, I think people have forgotten about that. Now, if they stay healthy and they make a strong run, then you start that conversation again about if they were to win, which I don't think they will, but if they lose, now that pressure mounts because they were healthy. The excuse is they haven't really been healthy, so they get kind of like a pass in that situation.
Yeah. The pressure they faced was that first year when Denver came back on them, and then the Lakers got Denver. Like, that was bad for them. They were healthy, all that stuff. This, I feel like,
and it's the Clippers,
point,
though,
people
Jay.
Have, like,
be
resigned
honest, man.
Themselves to, all right, Clippers ain't going to do it. But you're right. No, they belong on there. Absolutely belong on there.
I mean, I can see your case for AD and LeBron. It feels, because we talk about the Lakers every single day because they're the Lakers, it feels a little bit more manufactured to me. Like,
and they chipped up already.
But wait a minute, though, Jay. You got to understand this. If for some reason they don't make the playoffs, for some reason. No, I'm just saying. Think about it. If they don't make the playoffs, that's the second year in a row with the Lakers and LeBron's career. And if they make the playoffs, they're going to be at the bottom of the barrel when you got two of the top players in the NBA on the team and you're at the bottom of the barrel.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. But it was like pressure to win a chip, though, or pressure to make the playoffs?
Man, it's going to be pressure. Once you played in the NBA, you know, once you get in the tournament, everything, for the most part,
no, I'm with you on
with
this
them one. Two dudes is equal.
Key.
No, with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Jay, on this one. There's not as much
pressure. I'm not asking you to be with me, though, Max.
If they win a chip, it's gravy for them. It adds that they're looking a lot of upside, not as much downside.
I mean, Key, if they get to the eighth seed, if they beat the Denver Nuggets, like, you're looking at them like, oh, well, okay.
If they win a first round, or
they beat, round.
But if they beat the Denver Nuggets, they're going to beat whoever else is in front of them, I believe.
Maybe. Maybe, but it's upside. It's like they got a chance to add on to stuff, but they're not going to get killed if they win a playoff series and that's it.
If they beat the Denver Nuggets, they just took out the best team in the conference.
Well, maybe it resets then.
And then think about it. Who else they going to see? Who else
Phoenix,
do they see?
Phoenix.
Tune in to NBA action
Phoenix
tonight
Katie,
as
CP3
the Sixers host the Mavs. That's what set this whole conversation off, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. People want to talk about this. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
You're talking narratives. I'm talking basketball, Max.
Did that work on you?
No, it didn't.
Okay, thank God.
It didn't.
Right.
I just tried it on you to see if it worked.
Narratives.
You're like, well, basketball,
as soon as you start
it is narratives.
Sports,
they're the same.
You're talking narratives. What are you talking When is a fan base allowed to want to replace a great coach like a Belichick or a Popovich? KJ.
Oh, God.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
All the pressure is on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. There's a lot of talk around whether Jaylen Brown will continue to be a Boston Celtic. After next season, he will be a free agent. There have been a lot of talks about where does he go? Does he want to stay in Boston? Does he want to be an Atlanta Hawk? Does he want to be a Sacramento King? Does he want to be a New York Knick? Will this duo stay together, understanding what they could be?
KJM, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
Woo! Y'all know about that, Jay.
What? When is a fan base allowed? When is it okay to want to replace a great coach like Belichick or Popovich? But first, people want to talk about this NBA duo situation. Demetrius in Mississippi. What's going on, Demetrius?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I appreciate you taking my call. I love the show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So what I was thinking, I think the reason it's not Joker and Jamal Murray, and I think it's because they was drafted by Denver. I think when you go out and you make trades, you make trades to win a championship, and I think that's more pressure when you make the trades. And I know Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum was drafted by Boston, but the difference is just the Boston Celtics, and they've been there. The expectations can't be the same between Boston and Denver. Like, I don't think Jamal Murray and Joker should be on the list. Almost definitely not top five, for sure.
Oh, well, we can't make excuses for the back-to-back reigning MVP.
But let's get to his point, Jay. Let's back up.
Because Jay,
forget about
I
the second
when
point.
You first put the list together, Jay, I said, I was like, nah, I don't know that they, number two, I don't. They might need to be down somewhere. I think they're too high.
Hold on. Let's back up. Because I think he diluted his point with the second point, which is not a bad point.
The first point
is when you make big moves to acquire a second superstar, right? Then the pressure is ratcheted up. It feels like differently than when it's an organic build,
but
right?
That's what I said about the 76ers, Max.
Yeah.
I said they didn't go get James Harden.
I agree.
To go to the Eastern Conference Final. That's not what people – they don't go get Aaron Rodgers to win a playoff game. That's not
to say that you can't –
that's not what they're looking to do.
That's not to say that Denver doesn't face pressure, because eventually, if you put a great team together through the draft, eventually it's like, all right, but y'all been together this many years. It's time to win. But it feels like when you make a giant move, the pressure is there within like 2 years you're supposed to get it, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Think about it. The Miami Heat didn't go out and acquire –
Jimmy Butler
to chill in the second round. They wanted to win a chip.
That's what they're doing.
Well, they did go to championship. Well, again, it's the bubble and the whole thing. But you know,
Joe in Texas. Point. You're on KJM.
What's going on, fellas?
What up, Joe?
First time caller. So my comment is really directed at Max. I remember you guys had a segment last year when y'all were talking.
Joe, are you calling from a payphone? Where are you calling from? They said,
let me pull up. So last year you guys had a segment where y'all were talking about the best duos in basketball, the top five duos, and Max left Joel Embiid and James Harden off the list when he was averaging like 21-6. Of course, he was coming off that little fat time he had. But now you want to turn around and say that they have the most pressure. Mm-hmm. And they're in the Eastern Conference. Like, I agree with Jay Will when he says that it wouldn't be considered a failure because look what you got to go against. You got to go against Boston. You got to go against Milwaukee.
I don't think
that they have the most pressure.
But listen, at the time, Harden was not – didn't look the same. Well, I don't remember, but I'll take his word for it. At the time –
Are you about to make an argument? Wait, this is the best, Max. This is why you don't remember it, but you're about to make an argument against it.
Well, because he's claiming I took a position which I don't agree with now. But I can tell you why. If I once said that – and I'm saying this now. What's that, Key?
Chances are you probably did say.
Okay, but fine. I'm not denying it. I don't remember. The point is, Harden had an excellent year when he was available. So you're a victim of your own success. If Harden can show that he's still the player who excelled in Brooklyn as more of a point guard than he really had ever been, a real point guard, then it's like, oh, wait a minute. He can still really play. Embiid is obviously great. And it's not like they don't have anyone else on the team.
And Jay, for me, the whole argument about there in the East and the East is loaded and all that, you got two MVPs. I'm just going to give Joel the MVP. You got a former MVP and you got an MVP.
Yeah, but
you got guy. Go ahead.
No, I see, but I think Milwaukee is a better team.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
Top to bottom than Philly. I think Boston, and we'll see what happens with the Time Lord if he's able to get back. I still think it might be between those two. But
problem is, you're talking basketball. We're talking narratives, Jay.
Look at you.
This is about narratives.
But like those three teams to me, like when they meet, depending upon that 2-3 seed, like if Philly has to run into Miami, and at first, oh my goodness, like that's gonna be, it's still tough for me. And where we talk about the Western Conference as being up in the air. So if I'm looking at Denver as being the best team, I'm like, okay. So Denver come out of the Western Conference.
I don't object to the Denver thing or the Jokic thing. I suppose it's like saying, you know, Bill James once made this point. Who's the greatest brother duo in the history of Major League Baseball? And he's like Babe Ruth and his brother, right? Like that's not what we mean when we ask about duos is not measuring the total pressure if it's disproportionately on one guy. What I take it to mean, at least, is that there's enormous pressure and it's spread out with both. Even if one has more, they both have enormous pressure. I just don't feel it for Jamal Murray the same way because he's already proven – he's made his bones in the playoffs as a guy who
bubble that people discount.
But he played – he plays at a good level. He played at an even higher level.
But people are discounting the bubble for LeBron James. I'm saying that's wrong, but you're putting validation on it by saying he's proven himself. He's done it one time.
It's my argument.
And that was 4 years ago.
Doesn't fit my argument sometimes. I ignore
it. So if it fits it now, it counts. Yes. I got it. Understood.
Craig in North Carolina, you're on KJM.
What up, Craig? Craig? We got no sound.
Craig?
I hear nothing from Craig. How about Mark in Ohio?
Quick, Mark.
Marky?
Got 30 seconds.
Mark, you there?
How you doing? How you doing? This is Mark from Ohio.
Established. Yes, Mark. Go.
I wanted to talk about the subject today you guys are talking about. I believe Kawhi and Paul George is ahead of Murray and Jokic.
Why does he sound like he's in a prison cell with a phone?
All right, listen, I agree. I think Kawhi and Paul George do have more pressure because there's pressure on each. Although, you know what, Kawhi, there's pressure on Kawhi because he went to the Clippers instead of the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's like a direct challenge to LeBron.
For real, exactly. Though, Jake, sound like he was in a prison cell with a phone.
First, it's like we said, Mark from Ohio. Hi, I'm Mark. Uh-huh. I'm from Ohio. Yeah. I want to talk about the subject. Great. KJ, we're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, I'm Mark from Ohio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.